I want to hopefully do two things. I want to briefly give you an update of how the trip went, and some of you were part of that, praying for us 2 weeks ago. And then secondly, I want to give just a brief overview of why we are doing what we're doing here on these five Sunday mornings outside concerning the barbecue and rescuing orphans, and why, just a little bit of vision together on that. So Ephesians chapter 1, hopefully we'll get to that. And hallelujah. So, Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, as we just move into a time of, Lord, just celebrating what you're doing, Lord, here in this place, Lord, as the family of City View, Lord, and as we look to your word, Father, I just pray you'd enlarge our hearts, Lord, and raise up our heads to the vision before us. And Lord, we just are so thankful for all that you're doing in and through us. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we had as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 1, we had a really exciting weekend. Last weekend, we spent the weekend in Missouri, out near Kansas City, on the campus of the University of Central Missouri, at a conference for New Frontiers. It's a New Frontiers USA Midwest Celebration Conference. And I mentioned to you earlier this year about feeling like it's the right time to purposefully connect or link up with a greater mission of what God is doing on the planet. We've been reading in Corinthians that Paul says to the Corinthians, you know, you have many guides, but you don't have many fathers. And that, again, was a confirmation to us as we read through that this year that, you know, we don't have a father relationship or any relationship that links us to a greater mission. It's, you know, we're fairly independent, and we have a lot of relationships in York. I know many of the pastors in York, and we have great relationship, but so we have many guides, many peer relationships, but not many fathers, not many that can come and help us become who God is really calling us to be as a church. So as we've been reading through the New Testament and your reading of the New Testament, the idea of an autonomous, independent, local church or local work isn't really supported. We don't really see that as the model of the New Testament. What we find are self-governing local churches, elders and deacons, structures in place that are in relationship with apostolic influence, which means they're linked then with relationship with that particular apostolic leader, as well as all of those that are in relationship with that apostolic leader. And the biggest example would be Paul, and the churches he related with would be we would consider those the Pauline churches. Many of those he founded, some of them he didn't, but he had great influence in writing letters, sending those that he's raised up to speak and help, correct, and really urge them on to become all that God has called them to be. And so I've used, and I'll continue to use this, the analogy or the picture of family. We talk a lot about family. And what we're looking at is not entering a denomination, but stepping into a family as a church, or stepping into a family of churches. And it's just like a regular family in that, you know, our children are placed in our family. And one of the roles we have as a family is to help guide them and build them up, encourage them, and discipline if need be, so that they develop and grow into these people that God has called them to be. It's a safe environment. They're cared for, nurtured, challenged, and it's that picture it as us as a church, though, joining into a family of churches where we can develop and grow. So it matters greatly what family we may step into. There are many all over the world, network of churches, and the different terms that are used. We're most familiar with denominations, so I'll continually steer us away from that idea. We're not getting into the goods and the bads and the greats of that structure, but that is certainly not at all what we're looking at doing. The organization that I spoke about a couple of weeks ago is called New Frontiers. It's a family of churches, 850 churches in 60 nations. Right now, there's currently 29 churches in the United States, and they've been active in the United States since about the mid-90s. So there you go. There's not that many. They haven't been in the United States all that long. They have At this point, they're related to Terry Virgo. I don't know if you saw the video. We posted a few of the videos up. Terry has just kind of been doing this for 40 years, and church has just kind of connected with him and their vision. They've raised up many other apostolic leaders that are now carrying it. So we've been getting to know them. For me, it's been a lot longer, but I think as a leadership team for the last 6-8 months, consuming media, watching videos, getting to know their values, reading books. And it's one thing to see all of that in a glossy magazine or in a nice video. It's another thing then to get on the ground and be among them. Okay, this is what you say you're valuing. We match up very, very close. We share all their values. Let's see what it's like on the ground. So that was what last week was about, getting to know them. Now, this was a larger gathering. About 850, 870 people were there, representing 11 New Frontiers churches in the Midwest, St. Louis. They have two or three in Joplin. A couple from Atlanta were there. And so 850 people from 11 churches joining together. What they have every year is a celebration service or celebration meeting in Missouri. My expectation going was threefold, and I told the guys this. One was to meet God together, you know, as a corporate gathering. Number two was to meet a lot of new friends and extended family members in the body of Christ. And three was really to get to know them better and just kind of solidify our bond as a team. Going was Benjamin, Steve Mattson, who is going to regret that he wasn't here today and later. And number three was Rich, went with us as well. So I appreciate all of your prayers in getting through that with them. One of us, we found out, snores very badly. When we got to the, it was on the campus of University of Central Missouri. So we were in dorms. And those of you that went to college recently, this wasn't really the dorms you're probably used to. These were something, I don't know if they served as a fallout shelter back in the day. It was old. It was literally cement walls that were they painted? I think they were painted. We had a little bed. And we knew Benjamin was in bed because his squeaked, and it would just squeak. And he just stood over there and bounced his bed to make it squeak. But when we got there, we each were issued a key. It had our room number on it. And our room, we were two people in a room, and then we shared a bathroom in the middle. So we were kind of joined. You could walk through the bathroom to get to our rooms. And so our keys had our room number on it. So I thought it was Rich and I in a room, and Benjamin and Steve. And I thought, you know what, maybe we'll just mix it up a bit because the registration folks just gave us the rooms. So I pulled my key. I was like, hey guys, let's put our keys together and let's mix them up and let's see who rooms with who. Rich immediately takes offense. What do you mean you don't want to room with me? You know, because what, do you want to mix it up? So that followed us the rest of the trip. Well, we mixed our keys up, threw them on the bed. We each grabbed one, and when we looked at them, it was exactly the way it was originally set up. So I called for the best out of three. And so I had a room with Rich. Oh, my word. Not only do I work with him here, but I have to room with him. Two, in getting in, we flew into Kansas City, got out. And those of you that have been to Kansas City know it's a big place for barbecue. Kansas City barbecue. And so Rich got a great tip from the rental car folks, and they said, hey, you know, you need to go to Oklahoma Joe's, which is downtown somewhere. So we actually found it, and there was a line out the door at lunchtime, and it was cafeteria style. So you went in, and as soon as you told them what you want, they give you your tray, and you go sit down. So literally, we waited over a half hour in line, cafeteria, and they just kept pumping the food out. So as we're in line, there's a great big article from some world-renowned chef. It's the 13 places to eat before you die. And this was one of them. You know, and it was Paris, Madrid, and all of these places, and Oklahoma Joe's. And here we are eating. So we got lots of pictures of that. So we are one more step away from being able to die. I guess we're a little closer than that. But it was really good. It was very good time. So we headed out, and when we got to the campus, it's a beautiful college campus. And one thing Rich did, all he did was walk around looking at the trees. He just looked at the trees. He loved the landscaping, you know, because we have no trees up here except ones that we just haven't cut down that shouldn't be up. No trees, and they have these great big mature trees on this campus. And a theme of the whole weekend, New Frontiers is very active in planting churches and reproducing churches. And so Rich just kept going around going, man, I really want to get into church planting. I want to do some church planting. But what he means is he wanted to haul some of those trees in here and start planting. So if we have trees popping up here in the near future, it's just church, rich church planting here. I'm just getting all the stories out of the way ahead of time. Rich drove, of course. He got the rental car, so it was about an hour to the university. And I sat up front because I was deemed the navigator. I didn't want to drive, but I'll have a navigator. So he had a GPS, you know. And Steve Mattson in the back fires up his GPS. And so our little people that would say, you know, they would talk, they would chatter back and forth, you know, the voices on your GPS. And, of course, with Rich driving, every 10 minutes it was recalculating. Because he had us, it says go left, and he goes right, and it's recalculating. Finally, I just closed mine, and then it says navigation canceled. And so that became the big joke. At one point, before we were even out of Kansas City, Benjamin was on the phone. Maybe even Rich was on the phone with Becky. Benjamin had called Ruth to say, okay, between Steve and Steve, which one should we be listening to? You know, they're getting buy-in from their wives about whether they should listen to me or listen to the other Steve. And I just turned my phone off. It got too mean. It hit me right here. So navigation canceled became the kind of the theme. I've been trying all week to get certain images out of my head. You know, because when you see things, it's like imprinted in your mind, right? It's hard to forget what you see. Well, when we flew Southwest, you could have 2 50-pound suitcases. You know, we're going for 3 days. And so we could take two. None of us packed that much, but Rich shows up with a suitcase. And he went out and bought a suitcase. I couldn't get a picture. I don't know how to do that. I guess we could get on the Facebook, but it was a blue suitcase, a very nice manly blue, but it had flowers all over it. And Rich went out and bought this suitcase before, because he didn't have one. You know, it was a nice little travel thing, and it was blue with, it had flowers on it, and I'm going. It were Starburst too. That doesn't help you. I'm looking at this going, do I go after this or not? And Benjamin immediately, he goes right in. Benjamin might have said, did you borrow Lauren's bag, which is his daughter? And he goes, no, it's retro. We should get a picture of this. It's retro. I don't know if you can get it. It's retro, and of course, Benjamin then, for the rest of the weekend, it was called Girly Retro, his bag. So we made fun of him the whole week about that weekend. And on the way back, at Southwest, at the gate, you know, you check your luggage and they weigh it. Well, there's lines everywhere, and you know, we're putting our stuff up. And the lady behind the counter at Southwest says, I'm sorry, we don't take flowered bags anymore. It's a change we just made. And I'm dumbfounded. And I immediately go into, okay, well, we can take his contents, stick them in my bag. And then I'm thinking, the injustice, how could they take his bag from him? Like, they just take it. And then she says, well, I have spray paint. I've got blue or black. I mean, we could spray paint it. Because as long as you... and then, or we can wrap it in duct tape. I'm like, well, we've done that for Guatemala. That's work. I'm thinking... And it went on and on, and she's looking me right in the eyes, straight face, and then she saw, I'm just kidding. Oh, my word. I walked away. I couldn't believe it. Rich thought we put her up to tease him, and she ends up getting me. Horrible. I reported her. I said, I didn't appreciate that. Didn't appreciate that at all. So it was a great time we had. Those are just a couple of the little stories, not involving me. All right, I'll share one. All right, the navigation canceled. Okay, at one point, when I turned my navigation off, coming through, we were right downtown Kansas City on the way, and we got off the track again, and we were gunning. We were kind of going through some back streets, and we headed out. Well, on the way back, after one of the conferences, we got to meet a lot of the people, and one of the lead pastors of a church from Kansas City says, "Hey, you know, what are you guys from? What are you doing?" After one of the sessions, we talked to him, and he says, "Well," we said, "Oh, we're really excited. We ate at Oklahoma Joe's," and without missing a beat, he goes, "Oklahoma Joe's? That's not real barbecue," and we just sunk. You would have thought somebody punched Rich in the gut. Like, we were so happy that we ate this world-renowned barbecue, you know. But in Kansas City, it's like a religion. So he says, "Well, that's not real. You have to go to," he named two or three places. So we said, okay. So we went to one of them on the way home, back to the airport. We had some time, and we stopped Sunday before we got on the airport. And as we're sitting in the restaurant, I made a comment just being nice and said, "You know what, I bet we went right by here on our way, you know, because we were detoured. And I think we went right by there." And I look at Steve, Mattson, and Rich, and they were laughing at me. Because apparently they must have just said that, but I wasn't listening. And that was funny to them. Should it matter that it was already said, that if I said it, it might have been important again? And it was so bad, I thought barbecue was going to come out of Steve's nose. I mean, he was laughing so hard, I just thought, it's coming out all over. I just said, "I think we went by here before." And they thought that there was a comedian. So, yeah, oh boy, that's the whole weekend was like that. But I was immediately struck when we got to the conference and we entered. It was Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night. They had activities all day Saturday. I was immediately struck by how many kids were there. You know, kids, youth, young adults. It was literally a family conference. It wasn't a leaders conference. It was a family conference. And there were people of all ages everywhere. And entire families came for the weekend. They had children's ministry in a different building right next to the meeting. And then the youth had a One Blaze youth conference that they have every year for the whole Midwest. They got together. And so the youth had their whole section. Oh, gosh, 100 plus youth were there. And I didn't know, Emily, I could have taken you. I thought of that. Probably would have been, I wouldn't have been beat up as bad by these guys. But the whole atmosphere of the conference was family and togetherness. So of 850 people from 11 churches. So you do the math. One guy we talked to said, "Hey, well, how many people from your church came?" He says, "Well, we have a church of about 100 people, and 77 were there. 77% of his church came." So we began to hear over and over again that's important. Gathering in togetherness was important, that they would pay money, pack up their whole families. We saw infants, strollers, everything there. Just to be together and celebrate what God's doing in the movement. Some of them drove many, many hours, 4 hours plus to get there. Over and over again, I was very aware of the congruency of what they said they valued and what we saw working out in real life. Now it's a conference setting, but we had a lot of time to connect offline there. But their values of family, values of the presence of God, the value of the word, the value of celebration, the value of raising up leaders. You know, they talk a lot about raising up leaders, raising up the next generation. But while we're there, this one, his son was at another church, or this one had raised, you know, identified a leader. And now he's leading in South Africa, and it was all over the place. This is happening. They value giving. Saturday night, there was no speaker. Saturday night, they had just a prayer time. They had some prayer bullets, and man, the people, the whole place, they went after it. Just praying, and they'd have some prophetic words in between, but they were praying and seeking God, and then they gave. The culmination was an offering. And what was it? They tallied up $96,000 they raised that goes towards planting new churches within the movement. Like, hey, they're giving to the movement. And what they didn't know, just a party. They let it rip and they celebrated, you know, for, gosh, I don't know how long after that. It's phenomenal. I just turned my phone on and just recorded them. Like, this is great. And even that doesn't catch the real spirit of what was going on there. So we met many of the church leaders. We had lunch with Terry Virgo one time, Saturday. He was sitting there. His wife was talking to another pastor's wife, and Terry was just sitting there eating. Rich walks over and says, hey, can we sit with you? Sure. And we did. And 45, he's so gracious, 45 minutes and just talking. And just we got some clarification on some things and history, and very approachable, very real, and very among. You know, we've had experience with certain leaders, just the way their makeup is, they're in, they're out, they come to the service later than everyone else, and they sneak out before they're in. They're just among, and I appreciated that from them. And there'll be a link on the Facebook page. I know we do Facebook a lot. We're going to try to work to get some more of this stuff on the website. I think it's just a little more difficult to peg things to the website than Facebook. So some of you that are Facebook haters or don't have it for whatever reason, I apologize. But we're going to post the messages. I'll post a link to the three messages, Friday, Saturday, Sunday messages. Terry spoke Saturday. Just if you want to hear, if you're interested in just hearing some of the messages that were shared, it's just the audio at this point, but we'll have that up for you if you're interested. Facebook, Connie. So we'll work on the website. Next step, we have set up a time. A few of us are going to go up to New England, up to New Hampshire to spend a weekend among a local church. This was a bigger gathering. We're going to go into a smaller church setting and get to know the folks from the Northeast. That's the last weekend in June. So we'll be up there for the weekend. Just to kind of give you a little bit of perspective, the Tuesday night before, I'm looking for Joe Myers. Oh, he's out in the barbecue. Okay. But the Tuesday night prayer before we left for the last week, you know, we have an open mic kind of, you know, Benjamin was playing the keys, and just as we kind of welcome the presence of God and we kind of calmed ourselves down from the day, and we have an open mic set up where people can come and pray scriptures or just things, and we have maybe a couple bullet points, but this particular night it was pretty open. I didn't have anything prepared as far as a bullet point, and Joe Myers was here. I was over here, and I was just drawn to Acts chapter 2. I just kept reading, you know, the first part of the mighty rushing wind coming and filling the house and fire coming down on their heads. And then, of course, Peter stands up at Pentecost, and he shares the message, and he's quoting Joel 2. Peter is. And I'm about ready to get up and pray because nobody had prayed yet. And then I heard Joe beat me to it, Joe Myers. He took the mic, and he started reading Joel chapter 2. Exactly what I had of all of the Bible. And that's just really great when that happens. Now, you can call it coincidence if you want. I don't care what you think. But that's amazing to me that God would direct us here. I'm reading it out of Acts. He's reading it out of Joel. And it ties the whole thing together. I said, Lord, I know you're speaking to us here. And so we prayed that night, most of the night. I'm looking at Benjamin. I think for the wind of God and for his power and presence. And it's just great to be directed like that sometimes. But Friday night at the conference, there was someone came up and gave a prophetic word. And they saw, the prophetic word basically, and I jotted in my notes, was a fixing and a repairing of broken sails. Was kind of the word that was coming out. That was the picture. And as he was sharing that Friday night at the conference, you know, I got the image of the mast poles being broken, not just the net being torn or the sail itself, but the mast, the whole thing was broken and splintered and shattered. And so for me, that was really significant. And it ties in these two things for me. Friday night, as he's sharing this prophetic word, again, they don't know who. I received it that, yeah, this has been a season for us of repairing, fixing, of resetting the framework that facilitates the catching of the wind. Okay? I speak that as a church, even. He says, this is a time of repairing and resetting the sails. I said, that's right. That's right. That's significant for us as a church. This has been a season, I say season, years, of resetting, fixing, establishing a framework by the grace of God that will be used to facilitate movement of a vessel. And I believe by the grace of God, we've been involved in that for the past several years. Some seasons more intense than others. And repair work is not fun. It's not fun, especially in a culture where it's hurry up and get it done. I want it done yesterday. And in an environment where seeing things happen is valued more so than even how it happens. Like even like a thing out here in the barbecue. You know, hey, it looks great. Look at all the bikers. Look at all the cars. Look at the food. Look at all the servers. And we can get caught up in seeing it and not really care so much as, I wonder how that server's doing. I wonder what attitude they're serving with. I wonder if there's a lot of conflict on that team. So there's a difference. Not that we want that event to go really well, but I also care how it's done. Not just that it's done well. So even as a church, that is the essence of the culture is counter that. And unfortunately, it's like that also within the church. If it looks good, I don't necessarily care how the person's doing, as long as the music's really good. Like, how's Benjamin doing, really? Hey, man, it sounded great up here. Emily, like, you're playing great, but it's both. We want you to be good. We don't want Emily to stink up here. That would really be a bummer. We'd have to say something to you. Coming from one who has no idea. But we care not only that it sounds good, but that you're good. And that'll be a value we have to fight for because culturally that's counter. So it's difficult to do repair work when folks want to see yesterday. We want to see it done yesterday. We want to see it going. We want to see it doing. We want to see it moving. We want to see it done. People say, listen, I don't really care how it's in underneath. I only care that it looks good. We've heard those statements here. I've heard them to me. It's shocking that we would settle for that. So we've been patient, I believe. We've been patient. We've been waiting. Using the terminology from the upper room, where they were commanded to go back and wait, just pray, wait for the power to come. There's also an individual. Not only I'm speaking corporately now, but there's also an individual outworking of this as well. That God's asking us to repair structures and frameworks within our own families, within our own selves. And we have to respond to that. It's really easy to look at a corporate structure and say, I don't know what's wrong with the church. I don't know what's wrong with my work. And forget about this. Because the health of the church is really just the combined families and people together. It's the language he uses. We're all part of the body. Dennis and Sandra are doing really well. That lifts us all. So it's Corinthians, in the context of Corinthians, Paul's, listen, you've got offenses, you've got issues, I want you to deal with them. Here's how you do it. You go to one another, you work it out. Those kind of things. I don't know what he's dealing with you in, but it's important. It's important for the whole of us. You know, issues Christy and I have to be worked out. You know, we kind of go through a season now. We haven't connected the way we'd like to connect. We're like, how do we get past this? This is the kind of stuff he's working on us. Repairing the sails masts, repairing the framework and the structures. That can be done theologically. That can be done structurally within a church. And it needs to be done individually as well. As couples. As families. As individuals. Extended family. healing brokenness, shoring up the framework. So when his presence does come, his wind does come, we're not destroyed or toppled or blown over corporately. It has incredible personal implications for us. So at the very end of the conference, Saturday, about this time last week, they were ending with a song by Matt Redman, 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord. I don't know if you've heard that on the radio. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I could see out ahead of us. As we were singing, you know, we were among all the hundreds. I could see out among us. And I could see us handing to the next generation what John Lamferman, one of the leaders there, spoke as a progressive fulfillment of the call of God on City View. I could see it happening. Not now, but down the road. But handing them a partial fulfillment. Well done. Take it. Run with it. And I, with very emotional, I thought, it hasn't been lost. That's the emotion I had in that moment. It has not been lost here. The framework's coming in place for the wind to blow. So to say all of this in this season, our corporate posture is sails up. Let's get the sails up. Let's repair what needs to be repaired. Let's get them up. And our prayer is, come Holy Spirit, blow us. As a church, as individuals, wherever you would, whether that's next door or whether that's to the ends of the earth. In New Frontiers, they'll use a saying, Lord, their posture isn't a, hey, Lord, fill up my cup. Fill me up, Lord, fill my cup up. They would say, they would change that a bit and say, Lord, fill our sails. We would press into fullness in motion, fullness on the move. Not just a static, fill me, Lord, fill me, bless me, bless me. But no, propel us forward so that we might be in motion to bless and to expand and to move forward. And I pray that that would be where City View is found until Jesus comes back again. John ended the service last week. John Shuey ended the service with an exercise of closing our eyes. If you were here, you remember this. Close your eyes, and I just ask that. I just think God wants to speak to you about someone that he would like you to minister to. Do you remember that? I think he just said, close your eyes and just ask Jesus if there's anybody that he would have you minister to. That's a sails up question. Take me out. Fill me up. Fill us. Send us out. I was so blessed by him and how he ended that. It's exactly in line to how we feel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I'll read out of Ephesians in just a second. Let's stand together as we... I thought it was important that I cover that. We're going to... Benjamin, you guys want to come up and we'll end. We're going to celebrate in the Lord's Supper in a communion meal. I encourage many of you to go out and eat, get filled up, but don't miss this table that fills us up. This is what fills us and nourishes us in a way far greater than the barbecue would. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation as these guys get into place. It says, all praise to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Listen to this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Do you hear that? The reason we do anything out here, really the reason we do anything, particularly in dealing with the orphans and adopted, is because we were orphaned. And he initiated, he adopted us and brought us in. It was his idea. It blessed him and gave him pleasure to do it. We sang it earlier. We care and rescue orphans because we were once orphaned and rescued. That's the connection. And we'll do it many different ways. God has laid it on our hearts to do it in the form of a barbecue and bikers. And so as you're out there mingling, talking, sharing, consuming good food, know that it's because he's adopted us. And there are those that you may sit next to or talk to even during the week that have not yet been adopted. And in tenderness, God is searching for them. And would he have us have a part in that? So we have a heart for orphans because we were once orphaned and cut off from the family. But he has brought us near because it's something he wanted to do. Hallelujah. That verse ends to the praise of his glorious grace. That's why he did it. To praise his glorious grace. So as we eat barbecue, as we maybe park cars or we greet people, we do it to the praise of his glorious grace. It's a praise to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your glorious grace that it sought us out, brought us near. Lord, we thank you that it was your idea not to leave us orphaned, not to leave us without a family. Lord, I praise you for your grace, Lord, as we take steps even to look at as a church to join a family. Lord, I thank you that you have not left us even corporately orphaned. But Lord, you've provided a wonderful place. I pray, Lord, you continue to give us discernment and direction as we walk this out. And Father, this morning, Lord, as we come to your table again, recognizing, Lord, humbly, that it's your invitation that brings us here. It is your blood that makes us worthy. It's your sacrifice that brings us close. We thank you for the body that was broken, Lord, the blood that was shed to bring us in, that we might be joined and not separated, that we might be apart and not separate. Thank you. It's with great thankfulness and great celebration, Lord, that we come to you in your table. Hallelujah. Lord, may all that we do be a praise to your glorious grace. Amen. Amen. Amen.